Good evening. I greet each of you this evening in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I spent the weekend at the Hades congregation. They had their love feast this past weekend. And I'd like to share with you two prayer requests because you know the people very well. Brother Dean Gearhart had an operation Friday, had skin cancer removed from his back. He's going through a very painful time right now and would appreciate our prayers. Sister Sharon Martin is scheduled for double knee surgery tomorrow. She was anointed today and she would appreciate the prayers of the saints. So as you remember these, add them to your prayer list, and I'm certain they'd appreciate you praying for them. Reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, I have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. That they be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also you do. Shall we kneel for prayer?
Greetings in Jesus' name. It's good to be with each of you here in the Lord's house tonight. Thank you, Brother Derek and Brother Ray and Brother Brian, for helping with the service. And we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 through 11. It'd be helpful if you want to keep your Bible open there. Before I start into that, I guess I should have shared it earlier, but I didn't get it done, but you can take this home with you, a prayer request. I got a text today from Sister Verna Miller, and she said her blood pressure is dangerously high. And I text back and said, I will be praying. And she said, please do. And then she texted again and said, you may announce it. So let's let her know. I'm not the big card sender, but some of you can send cards or whatever. That this would settle down and not get worse. So I just share that tonight. Tonight, message from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 through 11. Prepare for the day of the Lord. Prepare for the day of the Lord. In the preceding paragraph of Scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, Paul addresses a subject of ignorance. When he says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him, and so on there. And the coming of the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we shall be called up together with them. And so for some reason, some of these Thessalonians at Thessalonica were not believing these truths, at least to the extent that they should have. They weren't experiencing this hope and this comfort, as verse 18 says there at the end of 1 Thessalonians 4, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Apparently, they weren't living at the level of comfort and hope as Christians concerning those of their loved ones and church people that had passed on in Christ who, that they should have had. And so he addresses a situation here of ignorance, as he calls it, but I would not have you to be ignorant. Now, in chapter 5, Paul addresses a matter of knowledge. He addresses a matter of spiritual truth that he apparently believes they have a handle on. They do understand this. And he's not really teaching them anything new. I don't think he feels that way about it. And the word "but" here signifies a change in topic from addressing something that they were ignorant of, now addressing them to something that they believe and they have knowledge of. And so we have this chapter start with the word "but." "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need. You have no need that I write unto you." In other words, apparently now he's saying quite different than he did in verse 13 of the previous chapter, where he said they are ignorant of something. Now he's saying, "I really have no need to write unto you concerning the times and the seasons." So apparently he's saying, you do understand that, at least somewhat. I'm reminding you of it. And so he's not so much informing them of Bible truth as he is reminding them of it. They already know these scriptures. "You have no need that I write unto you concerning the times." This word "times," the Greek word is chronos, and it is a period of time. This word "times," it's a period of time. It's a measured period of time. Sort of a general period of time, okay? Compared to seasons, and the Greek word there is kaitos, kairos. And seasons here in the Greek is more of a specific time within the times, the general times. This is a more specific time in the bigger general time. And it's more about the seasons is more about the character or the motive. The character or the nature of the times. I can't read my own writing tonight. The character or nature of the times would be more what the seasons is. So times, the general time, a period of time, a measured part of general time, and then the seasons, more specific things, and the character of them, and the nature of certain specific things that are going to have their season and are going to happen within the bigger time. So, okay. So verses 1 through 5, Paul is addressing them and us about our beliefs, about the Thessalonians' beliefs. And verses 6 to 11, then he covers what their behavior, what their conduct, and what their life should be like in light of the first 5 verses. How we should be living with this thought of the day of the Lord coming. The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. This is the subject of these verses. The Old Testament has numerous prophecies concerning the day of the Lord. And Joel's not the only Old Testament book that the prophecies are found concerning the day of the Lord, but it sure is a major one. The book of Joel really deals with this subject of the day of the Lord, and I want to read a few of those verses from Joel concerning the day of the Lord. Joel chapter 2, verse 1. "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." Verse 11. "And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it?" Verse 31. "The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come." Chapter 3 of Joel, verses 14 and 15. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Joel really, really deal. It's really a book about the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord, referring to Christ's second coming. And I'm not going to get all split up here on what on you know. I know there's some different lines of thought among God's people about the second coming of Christ. The day of the Lord is referring to Christ's second coming, and it's referring to the judgment of God and the wrath of the Lamb. It's referring to all that. And so for yourselves know perfectly here in verse 2 that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And we just read some verses about that from Joel. Great and terrible, the one phrase said. The sun doesn't shine and it turns dark in the moon. Wild things happening in our universe that we're not used to at all. The day of the Lord, referring to Christ's second coming, the judgment of God, and the wrath of the Lamb. It says here, a thief in the night, in verse 2. It so cometh, this day of the Lord so cometh, it comes upon mankind as a thief in the night. The thief uses the element of surprise to try to get away with his evil deeds. And he also uses quite often the cover of night and darkness. That's where the thief operates. He operates on surprise, and he operates with the cover of darkness quite often. I'm sure law enforcement could tell you that the majority of crimes are done in the dark and in the night. Why? The Bible would say because their deeds are evil. The thief does not announce his intentions ahead of time. Does he? The thief does not announce his intentions ahead of time. He does not say, in 3 hours, I'll be at your place. Is Jesus going to announce in 3 days or in 3 hours or in 3 weeks, I'll be coming? No. But we do have God's word. The thought here is, set your house in order and be ready and be watching and be sober and be praying. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holiness, all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. We are called to holy conduct, purity, godliness. We are called to be looking. We are called to be praying. We are called to be ready. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, 42 to 44. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. And he wouldn't have allowed his house to have been broken into. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. The Son of Man cometh. Watch. The Bible is telling us to watch. The Bible is telling us to be ready. This is going to happen. The next chapter there, Matthew 25, verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Again, watch. We have a warning tonight in Scripture to not be asleep spiritually, to not be slumbering, to not be so caught up with whatever we are doing here on earth that day would take us unawares. That might even include work. Not just pleasure, not just the sinful pleasures or even lawful pleasures, but work. Or whatever. Whatever we're doing. While we're doing it, we need to stay sober. That means we need to be taking life seriously. That's what that word means. We need to be taking life seriously. In light of God's word, Jesus is coming again. And we're being reminded in Scripture, don't forget that fact. For you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Back in our text, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. There are many sisters here tonight who understand this verse better than I do. It's sudden, correct? It's sudden. And you don't escape it during that season. They're shooting sharp pains. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. As travail, birthing pains upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. The world will be all caught up in this life, thinking that all will continue as it has. And Peter tells us that the scoffers will be saying all things have continued as way before Grandpa's day, great Grandpa's day. And they scoff at the thought of the Lord coming again. It tells us that in Peter. And so when Jesus does come, the world is going to be scoffing and they're going to be busy with earthly pleasures and what everything on the earth. God's word won't be given a thought. God won't be given a thought. God's Son coming with the clouds and with the shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, none of that's going to be thought of. And they're going to be eating and drinking and having that merry attitude. But how many church members will be mingling with that crowd from the world? And that day will be a shock. The word peace is in verse 3. When they shall say peace, right when they're saying everything's peaceful, everything's peace, that's when this happens. Peace, the idea that all is good, No need for alarm. The word safety is here. When they're saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction. Safety is the idea that all is secure. There's no threat. There's no threat from God or man. We got it made. We're in control of our lives. We have plenty of money in the bank. We have plenty of everything. And life's just going to continue on, and we're going to have a ball here, and we're going to have a party. Like the man that pulled down his barn and built bigger. The world will be in the habit of turning a deaf ear to any prophet, to any preacher, to any teacher of God's word. They're going to be in that habit. Noah tried to tell them, but they did not listen. And you can just imagine them pounding on that door when the water was coming up past their knees and then to the waist. Noah, like, man, we thought was crazy. He was right. But it was too late. Sudden destruction cometh when they don't listen to the preacher of righteousness, when they don't listen to the word of God. Verses 4 and 5. But ye, brethren. There's another but. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So what's going on here? Is it verse 2? Or is it verse 4? I thought the scripture just told us in verse 2 that it'll be like a thief in the night. Now in verse 4, the scripture is saying, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. So which is it? Which will it be for you? And which will it be for me? There's obviously a change of audience here. There's a change of who this is given to. The thief in the night is going to be the world. The unbelieving world that hath not made peace with the bridegroom, has not yielded and submitted to become part of the bride of Christ. And they will be that crowd that hath no wedding garment. And they will be part of that crowd, the 10 virgins, the 5 foolish and the 5 wise. The 5 foolish took no extra oil, and their oil ran out, and their lamps went dark, black night. But verse 4 says, ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. I believe, with God's word available, that day does not overtake us as a thief. You can talk to me or correct me afterward, but I see a difference here between verse 2 and verse 4. I see a different group of people. Verse 2, the world. Verse 4, the Christian. The world is in darkness. They're in spiritual darkness. They are in sin and they are in wickedness. It's like nighttime all the time for them, trying to hide their evil. Except today it's so blatant and it's so bold that they don't even try to hide it in the night of the darkness of night. They're not connected to Christ or to God or to God's word. Or to Christians. For these are all the source of light. Let me say them again. Number one, Jesus. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. They're not connected to Jesus. Those who are in darkness and that day comes upon them with all the fury of the wrath of God. They have not connected with Jesus as Savior. Jesus is the light of the world. Number two, God is light. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Hallelujah. And so the world that is in darkness, and they are overtaken by a horrible day, sudden destruction, they are not connected to the light of God. And number three, this unbelieving world is not connected to Christians. Christians are light. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Ye are the light of the world." Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." He also said, "Ye are the light of the world." He said, "You here tonight are the light of the world." The unbelieving world is not connected to you. They are rejecting your light. They are rejecting God's light. They are rejecting the light of Jesus. Number four, God's word is light. And Brother Brian quoted this verse in his prayer. He quoted Psalm 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And of course, the unbelieving world is disconnected from the light of God's word as well. Number five, they are disconnected from the gospel of light. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 to 6, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the lovely Jesus Christ." The world is disconnected to all the sources of light. Oh, how they need our light. How I need to do better. And so the people of verse 2 are in the dark. They're separated from all five of these sources of light. John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, several verses there about the light. John chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light," that is, John was not that light, "but was sent to bear witness of that light, the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." So every man, every woman that's born into this earth, into this world, has a conscience. And the Word of God is telling us that they have been given the light of God. They either receive that light and have their whole life enlightened to spiritual living, or they reject that light and go in darkness throughout this life, and then in eternity, without repentance, eternal darkness. So in verses 1 through 5, Paul addresses the truth of God's word, what we know and believe. Then in verses 6 through 11, Paul addresses how we should conduct and behave ourselves in light of verses 1 through 5. We cannot afford to sleep spiritually. The days are too wicked and evil, and the enemy is too deceptive. We need to be wide awake. 1 Peter chapter 5, And verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Brothers and sisters, I encourage us together tonight that we need to be awake spiritually. We need to be wide awake. Watch and be sober. Be in control of yourself. That word sober talks about being in control of yourself, taking life seriously. It says there in verse 6 of our text, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Verse 7 says, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. In the night, the spiritually asleep are dwelling in spiritual night. The drunken are in the darkness of night, far away from the light of God and Jesus and the Christian and the Word of God and the gospel. Verse 8 of our text, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. The hope of salvation. Christians are spiritually awake. They are living in the light of day. They are living in the light of God, in the light of Jesus, in the light of the Word, in the light of other Christians. They are living in the light of the gospel. They are knowing that the day of the Lord is coming. They're not in the darkness concerning that. And they are putting on faith, and they are putting on love, and they are putting on hope. We find these three together other places in Scripture. Breastplate. The heart is protected by faith. Belief is so important. Belief. Believing God. Taking God at His word. Faith. Receiving His love and promises. There are people that do not become Christians because they are convinced that they are too bad for God to love. And it's not true. With God's word, the gospel, and the light of God in Christ, all this source of light, the Christian can walk straight, and the Christian can walk true, and the Christian will not stumble from unbelief and become shipwrecked spiritually. Oh, how we need the light of God's word, the light of our fellow brothers and sisters, the light of God, of Christ, of the gospel. We cannot get through this life from here to eternity in heaven without that light. I did not have a good working light one night in the dark mountains of Potter years ago, and I stuck really close to the heels of my brother John because my light had gone out. It can be so black up there that you don't see your nose. And without some light, it wasn't a bright light, but when you're following somebody, there's some light. And there's even some light for your feet, for that next rock or that next log. And you can do okay. Verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. The sinner who chooses darkness over light and salvation of and the salvation of Christ will experience the wrath of God's judgment. After God's love is rejected, that is all that is left. Oh, but God's love is offered. Salvation is offered. But the sinner who rejects it only hath the wrath of God in the future. Many Christians who are walking in the light will still experience affliction, will still experience trouble, will still experience wrath of man. I firmly believe that verse 9 is talking about the wrath of God. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, not appointed to His wrath. But I see no promise in God's word that we're so privileged that we don't have to face what martyrs have faced for their faith in Jesus all through the ages. I don't see that promise in God's word. I see a promise in God's word that we are not appointed to the wrath of God. And so we truly need the light. We truly need to be connected to our light when things don't go well. And it's so much easier to stumble and not even feel like getting up. The Bible says somewhere that a good man falls seven times and gets up. Probably in the Proverbs. John chapter 15. Concerning affliction and persecution and the hatred of man that Christians sometimes endure. John chapter 15, verses 18 to 20. For the world, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. It will do us good to remember that when we are painfully feeling the hatred of the world. That's right. I'm Christ's disciple. And the world hated him first. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Don't be shocked. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, Jesus, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Verse 10 of our text, referring to Jesus Christ there at the end of verse 9, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. I believe this is going back to the physical thought of waking or sleeping. We've been talking about being awake or being asleep spiritually. But I really believe here there's a reference to whether we wake or whether we sleep, a reference right back to the previous chapter, things they had been ignorant of. The Lord himself shall descend and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those who sleep in Jesus will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. And so it says here, whether we wake or sleep, whether we have fallen asleep in Jesus, we've been buried, the body, or whether we're still alive here on this earth, we should live together with him, with Jesus Christ. Verse 11 of our text, wherefore comfort one another. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Very interesting. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the last verse says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Here, wherefore comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also ye do. We need to edify one another. We need to build each other up, encourage each other to walk in the light as he is in the light. To walk in the light of God's word. Are we encouraging one another? Are we encouraging one another by our example? Not just our words. I'm going to share it yet. It's. I'm not going to expound on it, but Ephesians chapter 5, I just found it very interesting how parallel this scripture is to what we've studied tonight in 1 Thessalonians 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, 8 to 14, for ye were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. What's the result of that? He says, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake, spiritually awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Light to get through a world of confusion, a wilderness. We will have light to get through there. Isaiah says, this is the way, walk ye in it, turn not to the right or to the left. There and around Isaiah chapter 30. Let us walk as children of light. As the earth grows darker and the Lord's coming, the day of the Lord draws nigh. Brothers and sisters, let us walk as children of light. Awake, thou that sleepest. Let's be watching. Let's be sober. Let's be ready. Let's be walking in light. How many of you played hide and seek when you were children? Well, remember what was said quite often. Ready or not, here I come. Remember? Ready or not, here I come. And that's what it's going to be. Ready or not, here I come. Praise God, in Jesus, we can be ready.
All who are able, let's humbly kneel before the Lord in prayer.